everyone, and welcome to episode 202 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with Nathan Kennedy. And what's going on, Nathan, before we get to some of these people here?
Doing okay. Went to a country music concert last night, and that is not my kind of jams, but it was Emily's birthday, and we went to that, and she had a lot of fun, and it wasn't horrible. It's kind of funny to be around a lot of people who I assume had one 12 to 16 ounce light beer, and they were trashed. You could just see it in everybody's eyes. I'm like, man, what a bunch of lightweights. But yeah, no, that was a good time. We got one main topic to talk about this week. I think Joe's got some other stuff he wanted to delve into, but this is going to be a first for the show, because as you guys can see, we're going to discuss issue one of Masters of the Multiverse.
But heavy spoilers. Obviously, yes. The whole show was a spoiler.
Yes, so we're going to go through the comic, but what's going to make this different than what we've done in the past on this show is the entire comic's going to be here for you guys to view. We're going to go through, and you'll see, like, page by page, and we'll kind of go through and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly, because then we can get your opinions later, too, because, like I said, something I do differently is I acknowledge people right here at the beginning, but as people come in, I'm not going to be able to always see everything that's happening. So when we come to the question and answer part from you guys, that's when I'll acknowledge everybody else, and you guys can give us all the questions or your thoughts on this comic. But first I'll acknowledge everybody, then I'll get into some of the recent stuff. We have Zentron, JSP, Michael Purvis, Adam Gabbert, Lacey Dean, Anthony Albanese, Benjamin Bowie, and Grimbot. We gotta have Grimbot here. We didn't have Grimbot here. This might be an issue talking about this issue.
Right.
But recent things. Okay, the only thing that I seen as news, kind of Masters of the Universe related, somewhat into some other extent, was the Masters of the WWE Universe figures have popped up at, I guess, the Walmart website. And they sold out instantly, so I don't know myself if they popped up at stores. I don't know if anybody else has heard about it, if you or anybody in the chat room. But
I've been looking, checking to see if anything's going to show up. Nothing yet. I do know, I can't remember who posted it on Facebook, but I did see the little advertisement that was on NXT TakeOver last night. And it looked kind of neat. I didn't hear any of the audio.
Wait a second, wait. You said on NXT they showed a commercial for the figures?
On NXT TakeOver War Games last night, they had like a little, it was probably like a 60-second spot for it. It was
no kidding.
It was all right. Huh. It was kind of neat.
I'll try to YouTube it. I'm sure that has to be on YouTube by now.
You got the network, don't you, Joe?
I imagine
if you just watch it, maybe you skim through it. The advertisement would. I don't think they randomize that when you stream anything, so it should.
You know, I don't know. I honestly what. Okay, if it would stay like that, good. But all right, well, thanks for that tip, and I'll keep an eye out just to see if I can see those suckers or anything. Also, my cousin gave me He gave me a video game magazine, and I haven't got video game magazines in years. And he gave me this this Game Informer.
Okay.
And I was still wondering why are you giving me a magazine? And it's because they had a. I guess this is the recent issue that just came out. They have a holiday buyer's guide in here, and they have different price ranges from like stuff from $25 and $25 to $50, and they have a spotlight for each certain individual price bracket. And when it came to the $100 to $500 price bracket, the spotlight item is the Mega Constructs Castle Grayskull. And I thought it was cool. He gave it to me because he was like, hey, they're advertising He-Man. So if you guys I mean, I thought it was just interesting. Like, hey, He-Man's being shown. But here's the thing. I haven't got a magazine in so long. I was like, where the hell was anything to tell the month and date? I went through this. I went at the beginning here. Yeah. I went on the side. I went all the way through. And then on the back cover, it had it right there that it was December 2019. So, Oh, wait, this one's my one. This ain't his. This is the one. I'm sorry. I did when I went to GameStop or GameSpot or whatever the hell
GameStop.
And I got some figures there. They had a good deal to get these sent in the mail. So this was the one that was sent. The other one was the one that had a different cover, I believe. I think it had something with like a character with fire and everything. But either way, this is December 2019, and they put it so small on the back of the cover. And damn, they're already up to issues 320 on Game Informer. So how's that for insanity?
Yeah, it kind of Game Informer went away for a little bit and then came back briefly. I was more of a, because I know a lot of people were Nintendo Power kids. I was more of a tips and tricks and Ultra Game Players. Well, Game Players, and then it became Ultra Game Players, and then like Game Buyer, and then it folded. But that was kind of like my peak thing. I kind of missed.
And they had Game Fan, didn't they? Didn't they even have like Game Fan and stuff too?
Or I remember at one point there was like EGM? 5 or 6. 28,000 different kinds of video game magazines, but I used to go into the grocery store, and I would, with tips and tricks, if I didn't want to get it, I would just go in with a notepad and a pen and write down like either the codes or like the Game Shark codes. That way, when I got home, I could just put them in my Game Shark. So,
oh, yeah, cheater. All right.
If anything, that sounds like a Joe Amato. I'm not paying for this. Here, I'm just going to go ahead and you got to think, everybody, that we didn't have camera phones back then. So, yeah, I went in there with pen and paper and wrote down the codes. I'm surprised no one, like, came over and was like, what are you doing? You can't do that. Get out of the store.
Yeah, and usually they usually didn't like that. They'd make you want to buy something. Right. That I wasn't going to address nothing in chat room because, like I said, I was going to do it till later in the show. But I will say, Grimbot's asking what's wrong with the fingers. This one was...
Oh, I'm just now noticing that, by the way.
Yeah, this one was slashed with a knife. So I did something. I was picking on John Itis about when he slashed his finger doing something. Well, I was just trying to get some debris off of one part of a figure, and I slashed it with a knife. And this one was just from roughage when I was using some sandpaper, and I roughed the hell out of those two fingers. So I got three messed up fingers. They're getting back to normal.
You know what? I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I think it's either one of two scenarios, three scenarios. Either one... Someone was about to find out Joe's true identity, and he kind of took matters into his own hands, as you can see. Number two is he was saying something about sandpaper and friction, and we won't delve any deeper into that. And three, it was probably he went to Popeye's to try out that disappointing chicken sandwich and got into a scuffle with somebody.
Well, and I actually did try it. It was good, but yeah, it's not worth killing somebody over.
I hate to go back to that, but it's just, yeah, it's not. Well, did you try the spicy one or just the regular one?
I tried the spicy. Okay. It was okay,
so
but like I said, not worth.
So I shouldn't even waste my time with that one then.
There you go. So, all right. Well, that's like I said. As for the news, that's kind of the recent news. But yes, we're here to discuss issue one of Masters of the Multiverse, and I didn't know if I want to start off first. Your thoughts, because. Okay, here's the thing. I know Grimbot will probably want to choke me, but I thought it was pretty good, except for a couple things. There were some things that annoyed me, which, I don't know, maybe I'll wait till we start showing the pages to where I can rant about it, but it's at least the tone of it when I read, I was like, and like you said, it's not like, oh, just settle for something and that's it. No, it's just I wasn't getting the tone of it being too silly with the dialogue.
Right.
Because something about the other stuff with the other DC things, it's like the crossovers were just hurting my skull. Some of the other stories were dragging out for 16 issues. I was like, Jesus, just get to the point.
Well,
just get to the point.
I'll ask you this then, because I didn't read any of the DC crossovers. What is the huge issue here? Like, what's... Because I know Tyler...
In this, the multiverse?
Well, no, in the crossover with... Because they had one where it actually crossed over with the DC characters, right? Or is that not...
Well, they did it a couple times, but, I mean, just, I don't know. It's just something about the story. Just everything just seemed so convoluted. And the crossover with the Thundercats ones, just everything was so messed up. It's like, did you guys research any of this, or did you do Google searches? And then the Infinity War, whatever one, went on 16 issues. That was the one that I remember. I think I gave up, I don't know if it was on issue 4 or 5. They kept going on these quests, but it was like... You might have had one page where finally there was some action, but it was just dragged and dragged and dragged. Like, I can't deal with this no more. So I at least give them credit for this one. They're getting right into it. And I can understand, okay, they're trying the multiverse thing. So even though some things to me might have been confusing in this, like why would have this been called this and this is this? I was like, well, if it's a multiverse, I can understand, okay, it might have been different in this one. So I at least enjoyed the tone of it. And when I say I don't like the silly stuff, that's the one thing that we'll get to that just pissed me off in this. But we'll let you start.
I want to go ahead and say once again before we go into this, because I think I saw someone in the chat bought it but haven't read it yet. We're going to show the entire issue one here, page by page. So there will be spoilers. So I want to stress this now.
Heavy.
If you want to go and read it on your own accord, maybe, I mean, I would hate to lose some viewers, but go do, like, shut this off.
Yeah.
Go do that. And then, yeah, and then come back and check it out. We don't want to spoil anybody, but we're going to spoil it right now. Yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and click right on here. And I guess as we go through, I want to explain as well, once again, I'm here on the show with Joe. I'm not the expert that Tyler is. I'm no James Etock. So I don't have any major qualms with this, but I see the idea going into it of, you think of the Spider-Man movie that came out last year, very successful. Let's take all the different versions of Spider-Man. Let's weave it into a story. And this is essentially what they're doing here. So in theory, it's not a horrible idea, but I...
Okay, well, here, real quick, Nathan, yes. Because like I said, I love your opinion anyways, because you won't probably maybe be as nitpicky as me, some other He-Man fans, and plus there's a lot of people that probably just won't care anyways and will just want to read it and won't nitpick.
Right.
But the thing is, like you said, yes, DC and Marvel has multiverse stuff, but when you do want to use, you know, actual little bit of logic and reality, back in the day, Anti-Attorney He-Man was from another reality. They came from the German audio plays. That's where he came from. So, in a way, yes, there's already been kind of other universes. Are they going to go a little more in-depth with this? Obviously, going to do iterations of probably Filmation and MYP and the movie and everything. Yes, so yes, this is going to be spreading and, yes, making more of a multiverse. So, I don't have an issue with this multiverse type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that when they write it, we don't get... Okay, like with Filmation stuff, like something Grimbot is worried about, just like me. Please, if you guys haven't wrote this yet, and I don't know how far in advance they write this stuff, it's probably, maybe they did all 6 issues already. Please don't turn Filmation He-Man into, like, you know, a one punch, you know, or one-liners,
yeah,
you know, that he's doing and all these jokes.
Don't do to him what they've done to the Turtles when they bring them
like
in.
The Turtles,
yeah.
Like, they sillied up the 80s. Don't
right
silly him up. Don't disrespect him. We don't need that. And... like I said, well, I mean, it starts off, you're seeing something, it's like, okay, some damn good stuff, got an interesting little story, and, well, if they can read, well, they really can't read it, but
yeah,
at least they can kind of see these pages.
Yeah, it might
but
be kind of hard for you guys to read every little bubble here, because it can only fit so much on the screen.
But Skeletor's basically
yes
like, hey, he wants Power Grayskull here, or he's going to wipe out, you know, like the, you know, King Randor and all your friends. And, of course, you know, Prince Adam's like, damn it, you know, I'm probably going to have to transform because Skeletor's got some new kind of threat, something he's going to be using that he could just, you know, destroy everything.
Yep.
But I'll wait till it goes to the next page because I'm on the 30-second delay with you guys
since
I can't see Nathan.
Yeah. The Sorceress, like you said, they're just kind of having the back and forth. Well, he's going to do what he's going to do. And it's like, all right, well, we'll go ahead and transform into He-Man. But we also have here on the next page, because it is, except for a couple things, we're going to have 2 pages per screen here, where he kind of notices, and boom, automatically, here's Skeletor just impaled by Anti-Eternia He-Man, which...
Well, yeah, because like I was going to say, the dialogue, though, at least... I was worried, like, are they going to use, you know, kind of like Earth vernacular, stupid little sayings? I wasn't getting that. So that's, at least was good. I wasn't getting that, you know, vibe, and it definitely did not happen, and hopefully it won't happen in any future issues. But yeah, like you said, you've seen the transformation, and bam, right there,
yeah.
Skeletor is impaled, like you said. And you see Anti-Attorney He-Man, and He-Man's, wait, that's me. So, of course, we'll wait to advance to the next page, but
yeah,
it's cool scene.
I get it from the standpoint of you're wanting to just boom, like, this is where we're going with this story, but it's also, in a way, just sort of disappointing that there's not some sort of, at least, shot of Skeletor trying to defend himself or...
Well, I guess that's what it made it a shocker.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to do the shocking thing. You weren't expecting to see, wait, what just happened? And bam, you see Anti-Attorney He-Man. Like, we finally got to see him. We never got to see him back in the day. Like I said, of course, you know, I never even knew about him until the internet. But, you know, in Germany, they just had audio. It was just an audio thing about Anti-Attorney He-Man. So cool to see that they're, like, doing something with the story that, let's say, hypothetically, if, you know, it was more popular and it did travel through, you know, to the United States and He-Man was still hot back in the day, I'm sure we probably would have got some comics seeing Anti-Attorney and He-Man. But, you know, it took all this stuff of, you know, everything through the internet for us to even know who this character is. But, well, you see, yes, bam, he killed Skeletor. You see He-Man shocked. He makes a comment kind of about, like, his look. So you're starting to realize, okay, he's been jumping around. He's probably already seen other He-Mans,
yeah.
But I'll wait till you get to the next one.
And I think this is kind of one of the disappointing aspects for me is we just get the sorceress here kind of like, oh no, and you start to see that it's everything's crumbling, and it's boom, it's done. Once again, like, He-Man is just sort of killed off screen, if you will. Like, I get that they're wanting to just, complete shock right here at the beginning, but I think it still would have been nice to have seen it illustrated of there being, like, even if it's brief, a clash, and seeing how he, I don't know.
I think they just wanted to bam, like you said, for at least this first shocking one. Bam, he's taking him out. You've seen he's obviously absorbing, because that's what Anti-Attorney He-Man's doing. He's absorbing all the power swords and the powers from all these multiverses of, you know, He-Man and Castle Grayskull. And once he got that power, you see the sorceress just deteriorate and getting old. Castle Grayskull is rumbling and crumbling in the background. Then how it began just a couple pages ago, now it's beginning again, but this time you see now with Keldor. So you see, yes, he's the prince. He's Prince Keldor. He's still King Randor's brother, but this is the part, again, that got me, but I was like, eh. Oh, okay, if this is the anti-world that we're in, and Keldor's good, and Beastman's good, Evelyn's good, and obviously He-Man and Teela, all of them are bad, why is King Randor good then? Shouldn't he be evil? But I was
You know what? As I'm going through this, because once again, I am not as well versed in the mythology of Masters, but even I was sitting there like, all right, yes, brothers, but why would King Randor still be
good?
And that says something. If I'm sitting here reading it and I'm like, wait a minute, then yeah, that's gotta indicate something to you.
Yeah. So it's Right, right. So I guess in a way I was like, okay, I guess maybe it's just, again, a multiverse. But I mean, if this is supposed to be the negative world and everything's opposite. So that got me a little bit. I was like, okay, well, I'll go past it. Because then you see Screech and, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, aside from that, and I'll probably get flack for this, I kind of do enjoy the fact that in this other part of this universe that it's everything, the roles are reversed. I think it's a neat idea and concept. Like we said at the beginning, I like the idea behind it, but it's certain little things as we're going along that I'm just like, there's still five. Well, there's still the five audio, issues. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, in the German audio, everything was, you know, reversed. But you're right. This is the only thing is King Randor's role is the only one that I guess you could say stayed consistent. But you can see Screech doesn't alert. You know, Keldor's ready to get on top of Panther. Panther doesn't like nobody getting on. I'm like, oh, okay. But you see, like, Prince Keldor, in a way, seems like he's kind of goofing around, you know? I was like, okay, is that supposed to be like a vibe of, you know, a Prince Adam? But,
that's kind of what I got out of it.
Exactly. And I was like, okay, even though he is not Randor's son, it's Randor's brother, obviously, like how it's supposed to be. But I was like, but he's still kind of taking on the role, it seems like, of how Prince Adam laid back, maybe not taking things seriously, learning magic, but using his magic just to goof off and do silly things. But they obviously captured, as you can see right here, Anti-Attorney Attila, who's like gone insane. Well, is already evil. So I like introducing at least seeing some other characters. Once you move past that, we'll see. Like I said, we're not going to read bit by bit, but at least you're going to see some of the visuals, because we still would like you to read it. That's why we're not going to tell you everything, but you're still at least seeing some stuff. But yeah, Triclops, you know, like in part of the Royal Guard, there's Trapjaw.
I wanted to ask about Triclops and Trapjaw's colors. Are those supposed to be reflective of, like, the Royal Guard? It's just sort of like altering the colors to match the same way.
Just reverse thing. And I don't know if they're going by the actual color scales, because, you know, some people said, like, when they were doing the reverse stuff, maybe it's just like a color scale would make sense, but I don't know. Yeah, but just different colors, because it's an anti-world.
All right, right on.
So I'll wait till it gets the next one. I like I said, I know there's a delay, but eventually we'll be getting to the part that really, like I said, I nitpicked, but like I said, I'm applauding them for at least what they're trying, because, like I said, at least it's still feeling like a team. And I'm not having a crossover where I have to worry about the Thundercats or the DC characters and, you know, Superman, Batman, and some insanity. It's a He-Man story, and I can understand and appreciate this multiverse thing. It's good. There's just one real big, big gripe I have, but we'll get to that. So
I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next page here, which...
I think you already know where we get this one. Just a little basic blah blah blah. Get Teela out of here, you know. Feed her something. Drop her off somewhere. Right. This was just nothing bad, but just this quick little dialogue, nothing too expansive to the story. But we'll be getting to some, get a couple pages.
Well, I mean, with this panel right here, I do kind of, I'm sorry, I just can't tonight. Like, ooh, hey there, what's going on?
Interesting. Yeah. Like I said, had no issue with it. The part with, like, Beast Man, I was like, well, what part of her saying that about Beast Man and Keldor, how is that advancing the story at all? Is it anything to the story? It felt like it was a forced piece of dialogue. That's a piece of dialogue I thought was forced. I was like, I don't get it. What does it mean? It's not evolving the story, if you will. So I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
But you do get to this after she leaves, yeah, and you know, he's looking to see a reflection of He-Man.
This is when, you know, right here, I'm sitting here.
And I'll explain.
I'm just going to call this Mega Constructs He-Man.
No, we ain't gonna call him that. Wait till I see what you see, and then I'll say this is the part in the whole comic I couldn't stand. There, okay, that's Tappers of Grayskull He-Man. Now, see, you just heard what Nathan said. He said Mega Constructs. Why would you put a character in there that probably 90% of He-Man fans don't know who the hell that is?
Yeah, I mean, even I was just like, what is this?
What? Now, see that. Is the silly part. It's like, damn it, if you could have left that out, you know, I would have probably, besides a couple little things that I'm like, we're in the comic, I'd have been still cool with, but this pissed me off because, again, 90% of He-Man fans are gonna know.
This is the one page where I was like, alright, I don't have any hope for the rest of it. I really don't.
Because it pissed me off. It's like, okay, here's the thing. I know the humor stuff that everybody wants to try to add, but no more of it. Please, guys, don't, in the rest of this story, no more Tappers, no funny stuff of making fun of Filmation or something. Let me explain something here. I was just going to say real quick about Tappers.
Okay.
Now, see, here's the thing. When this game came out, you think, hey, Joe would be all for it, because when this did come out and they had a couple tournaments, I placed number one in tons of them.
Of course
playing
you did.
This game. I did, but... why would you put it in? Because here was the thing. When I was telling Tyler, I was like, yeah, we'll probably discuss this on the show. He's like, oh, God. He said, there is no way I'm reading that comic. He said, they got He-Man in a bunny outfit. I was like, a bunny outfit? What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, in a bunny outfit. You didn't see it. I was like, no, I avoid spoilers. And after Tyler told me that, I kept thinking, what the hell, a bunny outfit? And oh, I see this. So for those who don't know, in Tappers of Grayskull, when there's a holiday coming up in the game, there's themed outfits. And one of them is this stupid Easter Bunny outfit. And I was like, oh, God, not only did you piss us off with this Tappers of Grayskull He-Man, but you had to add him in his you had to, like, you know, make it even worse. Let's put him in the Easter outfit.
Well,
go ahead.
What is Tappers of Grayskull?
Tappers of Grayskull is a game that you could play on, you know, your cell phones or whatever. You can download it. And it's just a game where literally you're tapping the screen.
Oh, boy.
That's it. You're just tapping to play. And eventually, if somebody dies or something, they just go like this and they turn black. So I can almost picture what's going to happen in issue two. If they hopefully kill off this little shit that shouldn't be in the comic anyways, he's probably going to be on the panel down like that in, like, you know, darkened out colors.
Well,
but
it goes back to the Spider-Man movie. I'm sure they were like, oh, well, Spider-Ham, everybody loved him and thought he was great. We got to have that kind of thing. What can we pull from this mythology of everything and throw it into this comic book? Okay, yeah.
But
Tappers He-Man.
Though, you're right.
I'm still going to call him Mega Constructs He-Man.
Go ahead. That's what I mean. Everybody that's been talking about him when I seen it in groups, and they didn't know what to call him. That's what I mean. Don't, if you're going to do a joke, which I don't want in there anyways, but if you're going to do it, why pick one of the most obscure characters? I've said this so many times, Nathan, that people in the He-Man community, there's a lot of people that didn't even, you know, watch the MYP cartoon. There's a lot of people that didn't even know about classics. But you're going to pull an obscure game like this that, again, 90% of fans are going to be like, what in the hell is that? And it's going to just confuse them and think, this is silly. So that character shouldn't have been in there because almost nobody knows this stupid game. Even me who played it, nobody's going to know that damn character.
Who do you think should have...
So we can get past that page.
Who do you think should have taken this character's place?
There shouldn't have been one. It just, I think that He-Man should have showed up just with another He-Man from another universe, but just leave the silly element out of it. Because this next He-Man that you're about to see, when you flip the page, I was like, all right, that's some good
shit right there. This part I actually liked. It's kind of funny to just go from utter, at least on my end, confusion and what the fuckery to at least going to the next page and just being like, oh, okay.
I gotta wait because I'm on the delay too. All right, I still, like I said, I haven't seen it because I'm just like with the people in the chat room. I'm boom, movie He-Man. I was like, well, yeah, now this is awesome. I can get behind it. And he's having a serious conversation, and he's letting Keldor know about the other universes where, you know, the He-Mans are good. And the part here that I had to ask Dusan about it, or sorry, Dusan, and also there was. Damn it, Karsten. I was asking them both at the same time, and I think they both replied at the same time. I was like, I've seen that Hell Skull somewhere
before. I was going to ask about that because I did see something on Facebook where someone was like, yeah, we've seen this before. But yeah, go ahead, Joe.
It's very detailed, as you can see it. Now, just to let you know, Hell Skull was described in the audio play back then with the whole story with Anti-Attorney He-Man, but never drawn. So there was an artist, I believe, Simon Eckert, did his vision of Hell Skull and drew it. And I knew I seen it, because when I seen this, I was like, I know I seen this somewhere. And right there, they did their version of looking at his and drew it. Now, I hope they gave him credit and just did, or I don't know if they just did a Google search and that came up, but it's just when artists have a unique vision, I always hope that they get their credit for it. So that Simon Eckert, I believe, is his name. And somebody can correct me in the chat room if I said his name wrong, but he's the one that drew the Hell Skull that we've seen online that this, I believe, is based off of, which he had a great vision. And so they use that, and they describe, and they start talking about Hell Skull and how Anti-Attorney He-Man learned about this power and what to do and how he could go through all the multiverses to collect all the swords, all the powers of Grayskull, and almost be unstoppable.
Honestly, this is my favorite part of this entire issue.
Could you picture if it just went to that? Like, instead of having the stupid part with the Tapper's He-Man, what if, like, when, you know, Keldor turned around, like, He-Man, is that, and turns around and sees this guy?
Yeah.
What introduction that would have been? I think that silly part should have just been out of this, and it could have just made it a little more.
I totally agree with you. It was just totally unnecessary to have that in there. But, like I said, they're probably going into it with that mindset of, Spider-Ham's great. Let's have our own Spider-Ham. And I'm like,
true. And I never thought, like I said, I don't look at other views. That's why I like when you say stuff like that and others say it too. It's because, maybe that's what they were thinking. This is some cool thing to try. But Spider-Ham has been around for long enough to people where he knows him, but nobody knows Tappers.
Right.
So then you see here that obviously he's gotten the power from, as you see, that Castle Grayskull there. That's from the movie. That's from movie He-Man's Castle Grayskull. So he's even got that power. You see that He-Man laying in the wake. I think that's the one he killed at the beginning of this issue. So you're seeing it's like he's trying and he's going to become, trying to be unstoppable. And they figured this is the guy that might be able to help stop it, because in every other universe, He-Man usually defeats Skeletor. But now that you have this universe where, you know, He-Man is bad, maybe Keldor, who is obviously supposed to be Skeletor, can do it, which we now see Gwildor, and he comes to him in a vision to let him know, which I'll wait to get to the next page. But like I said, it had it going good. It's just the addition of that one character wasn't too...
And you know what? It was nice to see Gwildor in here as well. That's
yeah, and I'm picturing him as I'm reading his dialogue.
You can hear his voice, yeah.
Yeah.
But even Gwildor isn't safe in this book.
No, because how I took it right here is it was a video recorded message. You know, I'm not saying like Obi-Wan Kenobi-like, but it's like a video type message. He's sitting there talking, letting him know the story, and then you see that, boom, Anti-Attorney, He-Man got ready to kill him, and boom. Okay, so then, he's like, decide, I will go, I'll go into your world, I'll go with you to try to stop this and try to help. So you see him go in with Tapper's He-Man and movie He-Man. And then they play the dun-dun-dun, the cosmic key music.
Tapper's He-Man, this still exists, right? Like, I could go and download this and play it?
Maybe. I haven't played it in probably a year and a half. That's how long. This game's, it's been on a while. I thought it's been 2-3 years. It's been a while since I played that damn game. I think you maybe can still download it. I mean, it's just... It's one that, oh God, I mean, you got to tap the game forever just to build up to get to. It was fun, but it's just one that lost its appeal.
I'm not seeing it on here. Is this like an exclusive to, like, if you only if you have an iPhone kind of thing? Because I have an Android.
I don't know. I had it on the tablet that right here. This tablet. Maybe it was a Google Play Store or something. I'm not quite sure. Excuse me. Sitting here getting choked up because I'm freaking out on this thing. So yeah. Yeah, so I guess Gwildor must have got killed then. So I don't know if there's other universes where Gwildor is going to be alive, but what I took it as looking at there is like, okay, was that just the Gwildor that we figured we knew and the movie He-Man based off of what we knew with from the 87 movie? So if he got killed, that sucks because the thought of seeing Gwildor getting killed just sucks too. But all right, well, you see that. You see they warp through and they're somewhere else and we'll get to the next part. Like I said, I still, the comic, definitely the story has potential, but just no more of the silly stuff. Yeah. Get that crap out of there. Get some good action and show respect definitely to all the characters. We know probably He-Man's are going to die and other characters will die, but I'm hoping when they put in certain ones, like my expectations, I would love it if in like the last issue you would see maybe the original mini comics He-Man and the DC He-Man and even Filmation, like all three of them teaming up with, I don't know if they're going to have Keldor do something, but all of them to stop anti-attorney He-Man. There's certain main He-Man characters that need to be there and not killed off. So, I mean, if they wanted cannon fodder, God, why don't you just take, I don't know, a coloring book He-Man, right. Something. You know, something we could have seen. Yeah. It's like, you know, have that be fodder, but just to throw in the goofball tappers, like, throw in somebody that's kind of recognizable, but you don't have to have everybody die. Right. But
yeah, in the page before the end, we see things like Galactic Guardians, and I thought we were going to a castle. Wait, no. And then we get to the last page here, and that's I kind of wonder how people are going to feel about this, too, because a lot of people don't like New Adventures, so.
And it makes you wonder, will all of Issue 2 be with the Starship Attorney and with that He-Man, or will they kind of move it quickly to another thing? But no, again, and I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to see what they could do with now that they're doing the New Adventures one. But it's six issues. There's, you know, there's the ones that are in our heads. So, like I said, that wraps up that comic. Like I said, it's a premise which I can understand, and I'm not faulting at all because it's something that I could have seen them doing even back in the day. I could understand that. But just the stuff with the tappers was annoying. Some dialogue to where it feels like, you know, what's the sense of some of these things being said when it does nothing to the story? That doesn't be needed. Just have them just kicking ass, having some cool stuff. And we definitely are going to probably see Filmation eventually. I bet you we'll see MYP. They're going to probably, at some point, you got to take it back to the beginning. So you got to go to the DC early comics and then, the Alcala, as everybody likes to say, mini comics. You got to take it back to them at some point.
And, you know, if you guys want to throw in Joe's first two customs when he was a kid in the background somewhere, that would be a plus.
Breakdown is right. I can't
don't,
wait.
Joe, let's don't see. Bring those out again. I don't want to laugh.
No, I'm not. But Breakdown is right. I'm trying to point my finger because I'm going in reverse. I think he's right around here. So Breakdown is up there. I put him with my collection.
It's my final thoughts on this. It's a little similar to yours. I like the idea behind it, but there's just too much silly shit going on, especially with Mega Constructs He-Man. I'm not gonna call him Tappers He-Man. I'm just not Mega Constructs He-Man. I'm just like, that's totally unnecessary. And once again, by the time we get to issue six, I can't even imagine what I'm gonna feel like.
You never know. Like I said, the intentions are good. And what's funny is beyond Mega Constructs, the people that, you know, were commenting, you know, like in other groups earlier throughout the week, they were saying stuff like Pop He-Man. They thought it was based off of the pop figures and stuff, you know, those pop vinyls. Yeah. And nobody knew who the hell he was. But now
Maybe they can do that too. Go into the Funko Pop versions of everything as
please,
well.
Nathan,
that exists in its own little universe now too. I appreciate the idea that it seems like every version of Masters is going to get a little bit of a shout out going through this, but I think ultimately I'm going to have the same problem with it like I had with when I was watching Infinity War, and my like for the Marvel film started to steadily decline too. Infinity War to me felt more of like, hey, look at this. You remember those guys? Hey, you remember that? It's just too much of relying on cool Easter eggs, and I put that in quotations because Tappers, He-Man, no one cares about that.
So. Yeah, which I think a few people in the chat room said you can find on the Google Play Store or something, so maybe you could still find it.
I mean, I was looking on there and didn't see it, so maybe it was,
maybe they
took it down. Maybe they briefly took it down, and since this comic came out, they're like, you know what, we'll re-release it, but now people have to pay for it because people are going to see Tappers He-Man, and they're going to be like, I got to download that game.
I don't know if that would happen. I couldn't imagine, but like I said, overall, I mean, I was enjoying some parts, understood where it's going, some things I didn't like, but honestly, from all the stuff that I've read so far through the years with the DC stuff and crossovers and some of their just dragged out stories, this one at least I enjoyed more than those. And I can see potential here. As long as, like I said, they could just cut back on some things, I see potential and it could be fun. It would be nice to see crossovers with some of your favorite He-Mans, but done in a proper way.
Yeah.
In a way that respects all the kind of canons or...
I just don't... I don't see it happening. I think it's going to sort of probably degrade even further. They'll probably shoehorn Tapper's He-Man in more with the dialogue.
He needs to be gone. Issue 2, just... Yeah, please, guys.
Just kill him off.
Get rid of him. Issue 2.
Anti-Attorney.
Yeah, please.
Anti-Attorney He-Man pops through a portal, and it's just like... And then just leaves, and he's gone.
Yeah, do something silly. He has an iPad, and he hits a button, power off, and boom, he's gone, or some silliness. But yeah, just get him out of the damn comics.
Tap him or not tap him enough?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's horseshit.
I would like to hear, like I said, I'm sure we missed a ton of what the chat room said, but I'd like to see if you guys think, you know, did you enjoy it? You know, were there certain parts you hated too? Were you kind of in agreement with us, or did you just love it all? You know, I would like to see what everybody has to say, but listen to Nathan Joe. Yeah, Grimbot's basically saying, yeah,
it sucks.
Cover price?
Well, it sucks because anytime you put out anything out there to a fan base.
Yeah.
And
I think it's $3.99, yeah.
Like you always have that in the back of your mind, right? Of like, we'll probably put this out and our hardcore fan base will shit on it, and your idea is wanting to try to like have your hardcore fan base enjoy it, but also bring in new people to enjoy it as well and want to like dig deeper. But most of the time, especially these days, I feel like they miss the mark on a lot of this.
Let's say
they try to go back and it's like, well, maybe we can recapture the magic of something that people really enjoyed 20 years ago or 30 years ago, like with Rocco's Modern Life. Netflix, they came back with a new thing and some of it was kind of like ha, but it was too much of being meta about the fact of like, oh hey, we're doing it like everyone else is doing it. And overall I was just like, yeah, you ultimately kind of did. Like, you're making fun of what everyone else is doing, but you also did it, and it was just as kind of meh as everything else has been. So that's a tough thing to do. And for anyone to do that, I guess that's the thing about art. Like, props to them for putting it together and making it happen, but at the same time, too, it's just kind of meh. The idea is there.
Yeah,
I like the idea. We can't stress that enough.
It is.
The idea is...
No, really.
The idea is fun. Just
it is.
Poor execution.
Yeah. Like I said, issue one, just a couple little gripes. I'm hoping it can get better. Because like you said, when you're going to be trying to hopefully... Like, let's say you're targeting fans that maybe, again, haven't been a part of the Masters community in a while. With, you know, there's... People that, like you said, they move on with their lives, they do other things, but sometimes, like I always say, there's the spark that brings them back. It could be that day they're in that comic store and they see issue one and say, oh, damn, a new He-Man, and to try to get them back into it, but then they'll start seeing characters like, I don't know what the hell's going on and what this means and what this means, and they might think, oh, this is just confusing my head, might want to put it back.
That's the thing, too, reading it, I felt that it was kind of, like, convoluted in a way, but if you're going to do the multiverse thing and you're going to have... We're going to jump from here to here to here, then that's a necessary...
And don't assume things. Really, again, you're right. And again, don't assume that just because He-Man has something out that everybody knows about it. Like I said, with the Tappers thing, don't assume that everybody knew about that game. Like I said, almost nobody knows about it. Just go to what you figure. Like, okay, if you're trying to get right here, tug on the heartstrings of He-Man fans, definitely go back to what you know they're going to love from back in the day. And then try, yes, you can bring in new things, but not new things that are too silly. So,
and I, well, that's pretty much why I don't understand. Like, if they're going to do things like this, I'm sorry, reach out to Joe, reach out to Tyler, reach out to E-Talk, reach out to some of these other people that are in this community that have been heavily involved either in podcasting or with the property itself on certain levels, and get their input and help,
you know, help formulate a
story there, because I feel like all of you guys collectively could easily come up with something way better than what you guys have been getting with the crossovers and with DC characters, Thundercats, and now this. So,
well, it's like things like, you figure, you know, you'd want to test the waters, or if anything, like you said, if they have focus groups or something of, like, let's say, you know, fans that really love Masters of the Universe, and say, okay, we're gonna run this by you. You see this guy here? And then they're showing Tappers, like, who the fuck is that? You're like, okay, never mind then. Or if they did know, like, do you think maybe we should include him in the comic? And I guarantee, out of 10 people,
hell no,
probably 9 are gonna say no.
Nope.
Yeah, no, no, almost. Yeah, so yeah, do some focus groups if anything, but like I said, I'm curious to see what they do with issue 2. Unlike all the other crossover stuff, where I'll be honest, I was not looking forward to even finishing the first issue I read, or oh, it's next month, I cannot wait. I'm interested in seeing what they're gonna do with this. Like I said, I try to stay positive, and you know, like, I know it's one thing that Tyler always drove him. I was like, God damn, Joe was always polypractical, but I'm going to try to stay positive and hope that, you know, the silliness is gone. You never know.
I know that that both of us have talked to Tyler, and once again, I don't want you guys to get your hopes up about him coming back anytime soon, but if at any point I hang out with him and I can film a video of him, like, lighting that comic on fire or something, I'll make sure to definitely upload that to the channel.
Well, this shit sure as hell ain't gonna bring back at least seeing Tapper's like, oh, fuck, I'm out. When he told me about it, I didn't know what he was talking about. All it took was that picture of that bunny outfit to take a fan of He-Man. See, you think of that. It took a fan, like I said, Tyler, who loves Master Universe, and it's not like he just wants to say, oh, all the new stuff is shit. He'll give it a shot if he thinks it's good, but that one image of Easter Bunny He-Man was enough to say, I ain't looking at it.
Hard pass.
Yeah, but if you wanted to keep everybody occupied for a bit,
yes.
Adam Gabbard,
you have a package that you got to go grab and open up.
Yeah,
so.
I got to go get it. Yeah, so you
I might go ahead and pull Joe's gimmick, and we'll go ahead and thank all the ones that had popped up here in the chat room. So thanks for joining us, Zentron, JSP, Michael Purvis, Adam Gabbard, Anthony Albanese, Papa Hud 69. Lacey Dean, and I think he kind of covered you guys at the beginning here. Benjamin Bowie, Benjamin Button. I'm going to call him Benjamin Button. Scrolling. Grim 2. Jason Johnston. Spike. Just Spike. Nightrunner 53. Febmon. Did I already say Febmon? There's so many of you guys. Zen Brown. Jeff Prime. Mike Champ, the winner of the Power and Honor Foundation book from our last go around. Joe, I'm still scrolling, Joe, to catch everybody that was in the chat room that we missed.
Oh, cool. All right. See, a Megator just popped up, and Darth Baca. And yeah, again.
BZ Dad, Sportimus. I think I got everybody. If I missed you guys, I sincerely apologize. But thank you guys for joining us live, and those of you that joined us and weren't in the chat room, thank you for popping up as well. All right, Joe.
We do appreciate it.
Joe, you got a package that you're gonna open for everybody.
Yeah, I got a package. And yeah, if you guys still have any questions for us, you can go ahead. But next week, or the end of this week on Friday, will be my birthday. So Adam Gabbard said he wanted to send me something.
Yeah.
I have no clue. Let's see.
And I want to go ahead and say, too, as Joe is opening this, make sure you check out the Beyond Retro channel next Saturday at 8 p.m. Joe and I are going to have another live interactive show where we're just going to kind of discuss, like, random things. It won't really be Masters related. It's going to be called The Drunk and the Masked Man. So, yeah, you get what you're going for with that. But Joe, yeah, you got that open. You're ready to reveal what's inside.
Yes, I'm going to show everybody what. Yeah, I'm opening. I'm showing us everybody my package. Dear Joe Amato, once you get this in the mail, don't open it yet until you holler for me once you get it open in one of the Facebook groups live. I want to see everyone's reaction, what you have opened up, including you. Take care. P.S. Holler for me once you get it in the mail.
Well, here we are. All
right. Hold on. While ripping this, I'm probably going to rip up his message.
Man, if it's a classic Scarecrow, I'm going to be pissed.
No, it's a... Oh, it feels like a... It's porn! No, it feels like a movie.
Oh, man.
Well, it's got to be a movie.
Oh, man. Backdoor Sluts 9? I haven't seen that one yet.
Man, look at that.
And that's why our YouTube channel is not recommended for children these days.
Not recommended for children. Let's see. Oh, I've never seen... Okay. And there's going to be a story behind this. He got me Aeon Flux, and it's well, let me see this. Wait, the complete animated collection.
Oh, right on.
I've never seen this,
really?
And well, thank you, Adam. I really appreciate. Yeah, and that's why I guess he was shocked. Was a while back he had me. He commissioned me to make a Trevor Goodchild.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, and I said, what's a Trevor Goodchild? I had no clue what the hell that was. He was, it's from Aeon Flux, and I did say, what's Aeon Flux? I felt like I was just digging my hole bigger and bigger.
It's
like
come on MTV. I think it was Liquid Animation. I think was what they were calling it back in the day. But yeah, I used to watch that all the time with it was Aeon Flux, the Head, and Max, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that was kind of cool and fun back in the day. Anytime that was on, I always tried to catch it. I didn't fully understand what was going on at the time.
Okay.
But I was like, yeah, all right, this is kind of neat.
Yeah, no, well, now I get to see it. I really appreciate him because he said it was good. You got to see it. I've never seen this in my life. And then I guess I won't feel like I'm out of the loop because, you know, half the time I haven't seen half the stuff that people always recommend.
No,
I don't...
kidding. That was always the biggest issue with the Beyond Retro podcast. It's like, hey, Tyler and I want to talk about Aliens. Well, I've only seen that like once. Oh, all right. Well,
yeah, they do it all the time. Like, yeah, I've seen that once. Up, I never seen it. Like, one, they said, hey, we're gonna talk about Roadhouse. I was like, never seen Roadhouse. You've never seen Roadhouse? Why? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, just Patrick Swayze was always in these like sappy movies, I thought, or all these sad movies.
Between Ghost and Dirty Dancing, like, I get it, but it's Roadhouse, Joe.
Yeah, Roadhouse.
Well, right,
Adam, take a closer look at it. What am I supposed to be looking? Oh, there's a fly in the eyeball, I guess. It says director's cut.
You'll see a lot of that in the intro. That's kind of like one of the main focuses in the intro, is like the fly kind of getting in between her eyelashes. But yeah, we can, Joe, if you watch that this week, I haven't gone back and watched it in years, but go ahead and check it out. And then when we do our Drunk and the Masked Man show on Saturday, we'll kind of get your impressions.
We'll talk
on
about
it. Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Adam, man. That was really cool of you, and I really do appreciate that. And Zentron said, I guess there was a movie of this. He said it was a terrible live action movie, so I guess they made a movie based off of this too. So,
they made it was Charlize Theron. It was quite terrible. Adam Gabbert said to open the wrap to look closely at it.
Oh shit! I ain't got no fucking Adam. I got three fingers fucked up. I can't rip this plastic, man. I'll do it.
Joe's gonna. Later. Yeah.
I can't
Joe
open
will
this
just be
shit.
Like, ow, and then it's just like all of his fingers are covered in Band-Aids.
My fingers hurt, but let me do this. I did want to show one other cool thing.
Yeah, and I want to stress again, you guys, go ahead and pop some questions in there before we go ahead and wrap this thing up. Ask us anything you want, and we'll answer.
Anything you want at all, and while you're typing out your questions, I was going to say there's a guy out there, his name is Roy Stiffy, and he's in a lot of the Facebook groups, and he does some really cool...
Stiffy. Well, you know,
he does some really cool paint jobs on stuff, and he was going to do some Christmas ornaments. And, you know, you can find him on Facebook, contact him on pricing and stuff. He was like, yeah, I'm going to do some ornaments around Christmas. I'll draw anything you want on them. And I was thinking, you know what would be cool on a Christmas ornament? A Madball. I was like, I love Slobulus. That was the only Madball I ever had. I just loved that Madball. I said, if you could draw Slobulus on a Madball, I mean, on an ornament, it'd be cool as hell. So, he drew this sumbitch up, and
that's really awesome.
And it almost looks 3D like, because I've showed a couple people this, and they thought, "Oh my god, it's 3D!" It's like, no, it's just the ornament. So cool as hell. Yeah, no, so
that's really neat. Where's mine?
Hell, again, find them on Facebook, and you can say, "Hey, you know, I'm, you know, me and Joe do this." They don't know me because I'm a dickhead on Facebook. So, no, just find them and say, "Hey, man, could you do this for me?" He'll put anything you want on an ornament, and yeah, that slabula is cool as shit.
Yeah, no,
so
that's really badass. I still enjoy that they came out with ones that were like horror movie related, because I got the one from Eric Amon. I think it was Eric Amon. Maybe it was Who Dat Will that sent it to me. That's the Jason Voorhees one. I can't remember now because I got a handful of things.
Oh, you got the old one? The old Jason Voorhees Christmas ornament?
No, it's no, like no, that no, small no. It's like the Mad Balls that they came out with that were like the horror movie characters.
Yeah.
I got that last year because a few listeners sent me some stuff.
Okay, I was gonna reach for that because it's right within my reach. But if I do, I'll probably pull my whole tablet down.
It's still amazing to me that Joe's like, "Oh yeah, I got this right here," and just reaches off screen. And
that one, I'm literally within. Let's see. Hold on. About three steps. Hold on. 1, 2, 3. Grab it. Got it.
Do you just have like all kinds of shit just sitting in your floor?
No, it's on the shelves. That's my Jason shelf that way. So right. When you say Jason, I can easily grab the
piece
of stuff.
I have that one as well. It's badass. I like it.
That is cool as hell. That is that's a cool one. I think they released a new series, but they didn't really interest me. I can't remember who was in them, but I was nothing I really want to get. But okay, well, let's see. We got Sportimus says, "Do you guys have the Hallmark Christmas ornaments? I miss those He-Man and Skeletors were great." I have them both. You got both of them?
Yeah, I have both of those. My mom actually makes it a point. She gets the book because I think they mail it out to her that have the ornaments that they're coming out with. And she was like, "Go ahead and mark which ones you want." So I have so many. I have Lion-O, the DeLorean, the Ecto-1. A lot of the Batman ones, especially like the 60 series stuff with the Batmobile. He-Man, Skeletor, have. Frankenstein's Monster. We've been getting them for years. Like I got like Wayne Gretzky and Joe Montana from like the mid-90s because back then I was really into like 49ers football and everything.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, almost everybody was getting. Yeah, because Jason Johnston said he picked up the He-Man and he got two Skeletor ones. Yeah. It was cool because, you know, we never had that type of stuff. You know, He-Man, I've always said there's certain types of merchandise we never got from Masters of the Universe. Like, back in the day, we never got Pez dispensers.
Which,
you know, we never got wine.
That's kind of mind-blowing that there wasn't, like, He-Man Pez dispensers. Because that seems like seems like a given, honestly.
It is. It's like it's a no-brainer, but it took years later till we got stuff through Funko. But, like, they used the type of, like, the... you know, over cutesy face heads that they did on their little figures. They did them for the same ones. They boom, popped them on a Pez. Cause I always thought, man, it would just been cool to have some cool He-Man ones back in the day, have some wind up stuff. We never had any really kind of ornaments. So when we started seeing merchandise like this, it's like, you know, we were, you know, kind of frothing saying something's out there, something's new. But I don't think I've seen anything new for Hallmark coming from Masters.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that, like, to me, it's a given. Just do a Castle Grayskull.
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm not gonna do it.
What?
I was gonna say. Well, I recently made these
the magnet.
Yeah, and somebody said,
"Show it off."
Okay, hold on. Okay, well, let me. This one will probably be about 20 seconds because I have to go sculpting room.
No, that's fine. That's part of the show. I kind of want to make that a thing. It's like, hey, Joe, show off your customs. You got to whore it out, man. That way, people want to buy it. JSP says, "Hey guys, a friend and I are looking to do a stop motion wrestling show with various action figures." That'd be kind of, honestly, it'd be kind of neat if you did a wrestling show using vintage Masters, since that ring's going to come out. That would be kind of neat to do. And then you can send it to us, and like Joe and I can do the commentary for it. So when we do like a Survivor Series type thing, or do a Royal Rumble type thing again, if you take the time to do that stop motion with those, that'd be really cool. But yeah, Joe, go ahead and show off that magnet, because it looks really good. Do you use the eraser?
Well, first let me say thank you, Zen Brown, because he's seen it, and Thomas Robinson, thank you for joining us. It was the pencil sharpener that they had back in the day, which I used to love taking to school because I felt like, hey, I'm playing with He-Man stuff. Well, Man, I don't know why. Just the other day, I was looking, I was like, now that has some good ass potential. Now, of course, where the jaw bridge is, there's a big hole. That's where you stick in the pencil and start, you know, sharpening. So there's never been a jaw bridge there. And it was just one solid color, just green, shiny green, no details. I was like, I'm going to take that front facade as an example, do new sculpting to change up the eyes a bit, the nose, add some towers, make the jawbridge on there. I'm going to sculpt the whole jawbridge and make the teeth in a better angle because the teeth on the pencil sharpener were actually sticking out almost sideways. So, yeah, I did a lot of cool extra details to make this thing come to life.
No, that looks fantastic.
I really appreciate it. It was the first thing I made where I was like, you know what? I'm going to make one for myself too, but these been selling like crazy. I was like, this is actually the craziest selling item I've ever had. Now, unlike when I do my figures and I have to sculpt the head over and over and over, so it takes a while, I'm not somebody, like I told you, I don't do making molds of stuff because it's just beyond my capabilities. It's too time consuming. But for a one-sided mold, after I sculpted it, I was like, I can make a mold of this, and I can pop them out, and then I could just do the painting, the detailing, the dark washes, the dry brushing, and so I sell these all the time. But it's a cool ass fridge magnet, and I was really proud of it. I just thought the detailing really popped on
I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you want to divulge like how much you're charging for those? That way, if anyone's interested here,
if you are interested, I can just tell you just to contact me on Facebook through just my regular page, or you can even message me on Joel Mono Custom Creations. I'll get you all the details, because when I include stuff, I include shipping too. It's like all boom, one fee. I put everything pricing, and I give people the reasoning behind pricings in case they're ever wondering, you know, the price and stuff, why I let them know. But yeah, this is damn, it was really cool. Like I said, it's the first thing I bought myself. I mean, I made that I kept myself. And I appreciate that, Zen Brown and Sportimus. Yeah, this was Sportimus said how can get one. And just contact me on Facebook. And I think, we have links to Joel Mono Custom Creations. And
I don't think I have it down here on this particular yet, because I had to figure out, because YouTube sort of changed the live stream structure on me kind of abruptly, but it will be down below on this video. Probably after we wrap it up, I'll get that in there. That way you can contact Joe. But I'm gonna assume you just send Joe a little bit of cash and maybe like a stale ham sandwich, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I always enjoy my food. But the thing was, when somebody suggested the ornaments, I was like, I could sculpt, in addition to like the upper middle tower here, I could turn that into an ornament too.
Do it.
Look just like that.
Do it. Convert it into an ornament. I'll probably buy one off of you as well.
I appreciate that. There you go, man. Number love. So, we just left the show. Wait, what?
Eric Amon was at. You know what? I'm gonna call out Eric Amon right now. He's on Facebook and he's tagging us in his live stream and watching a concert. And I actually went to that concert went to a concert last night that I talked about at the beginning of the show. And there were so many people there just either live streaming it or recording it on Snapchat. And I'm like, can you guys just put your phones down and just enjoy the show? So, Eric, what are you doing? I see you on Facebook all the time, like talking shit about people. And here you are, like one of those middle-aged drunken housewives out there live streaming a concert.
He was doing that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think, I think basically everyone in the chat remembered many of your questions and stuff. And I think while I was away, I think Nathan got to all your names too.
Yes,
so,
I did.
Yeah, small O-ring. Well, is that what? Wait, let me see. Sportimus must have said, and you can find like an I-ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, I know what you mean, but I would rather. I'm going to sculpt something. I'm gonna sculpt it to make it look like it's part of this, and then get a hole in there and make it to where it's one piece, so I don't have to worry about like a thing that's on there and might pop and break off. If it's one whole molded set piece, I think that would stay better. So that's how I'll do it. But I mean, I appreciate that Sportimus was saying that. I do appreciate that. But I think that pretty much is the end of the episode. So, I mean, I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, high hopes for this comic. Like I said, I didn't completely hate it. It was the first one I kind of enjoyed, just certain things I didn't enjoy. But otherwise, maybe they can get better and better, and hopefully it could lead to other things. So you never know. But yeah, I know that's the part where Tyler will be, oh God, Joe, no, just no.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's terrible. Yeah. Just it's a shithole.
I mean, I'm close to that. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, but still, so it's still worth a purchase. I don't think you guys will completely hate it, but it's possible you might, and you might love it. Hell, you might love it more than me. You might even like the Tappers guy, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
No.
So let me just say, for anybody new to this channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell down there so you can always be notified when we go live. And that was pretty much it. So until oh, and thank you for everybody that joined us. You know, we love having you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. But until next time, have a powerful day.
Wrestling trivia for this week, Joe. Up until okay. Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30, what was his record at WrestleMania?
Oh, I know it was in the 20s. I know it was in the 20s. Wait, let me see. 23-0, 22-0. Was it 23-0?
Incorrect. It's kind of surprising, Joe, if you sort of watch wrestling a little bit after the fact. It was 21-0 because Paul Heyman always made it a point to be that Brock Lesnar is the one in 21-1 or whatever.
All right, you got me. You got me. I was close. I was off by two. See you guys next time.